evening.
Good evening.
We will begin with step one of the counting.
Okay.
Ishkinte bitkilu urhimu urhimu udkilu liakta l'shem yudhe bovavhe v'yichudach shalim b'shem kol Yisrael hine anachnu ba'im l'kayim mitzvat sefirat ha'omer v'asot nachat ruach v'yotrenu v'lasot rotzon v'orenu Vayehino amadunai Elohino elena masei adenu kunene elena masei adenu kunenehu. We'll now read the psalms that we read before the blessing. Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yo Wahei Dawanu Hei Yo Igmor Biadi Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yo Wahei Dawanu Hei Yo Azdecha Leolam Maasei Adicha El Tereth Echra Elohim Elyon La'el Gomer Alay V'yavor Alayich V'yerech Mitvoseset V'damayich V'yaumar Lach V'damayich Hayei V'yomar Lach V'damayich Hayei Barki nafshi et Adonai, Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo, Yohei Dawanu Hei Yo, Adonai, Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo, Yohei Dawanu Hei Yo, Elohei Gedalta Meod Hod. With Hadar Levashta. O te or keshama, no te shamayim karia. Baruch ata Adonai yo. Adanu yo, yo aheda wanu hey yo, yud hey wav hey Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav, vetzivanu al sefirat haomer. Hayom arba'a v'yesrim yom la'omer Shehem shalosha shavuot u'shlosha yamin. Today is day 24 of the Omer, which is 3 weeks and 3 days. The inner light. Harachaman hu yachatzir avodat Beit HaMikdash Limkoma B'mehera B'yameinu Amen. Psalm 67. Lam Natseach B'nginot Mizmor Shir Elohim Yechaneinu Yivarkeinu Elohim Yair Panavitanu Sela Lada'at Ba'aretz Darkecha Bekol Goim Yeshuatecha Yoducha Amim Elohim, Yoducha Amim Kulam. Yismechu v'ranenu ki tishpot le'umim. The letter is the letter Tet. The letter is the letter Ayin. The letter Ayin has a connection to wisdom. The letter Ayin has a connection to wisdom and to sight, to our eyes. What character traits do you have that blocks you from seeing truth, that causes you to see the illusion of the physical world and all of the different aspects of that illusion? What do you need to change about your character traits so that you can see more of the truth? In fact, trying to see all of the truth. What aspects allow you to block out so you see the way you want to see rather than the way it is? The 24th word is the word Tishvot.
Has joined.
Amim Mishor Ulumim Ba'aretz Tanhem Sela. Yoducha Amim Elohim, Yoducha Amim Kulam. Eretz Dana Yivula Yivarkenu, Elohim Eloheinu. Yivarkenu Elohim v'yiru oto kol asei aretz. Ana bekoa. Ana bekoa. Gedulat yemincha tatir tzerura. Aleph et Gimel, Yutah Sadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbeinu Tacharenu Nora. Kufrei Shayim, Sintet Nun. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamren. Nun Gimel Dalet. Yud Kafshin. Barchem Tacharem. Rachamei. The letter Resh is the 24th letter in the 42 letters of the Anabakoa. The letter Resh means head but it also has two sounds to it. So it also, in addition to meaning the Rosh, the head, it also means the Rosh, the poorness, the lack. In what ways are you blocking yourself from receiving the fulfillment so that you maintain that feeling of lack, where you're not allowing yourself to feel the fulfillment? What do you have to change about yourself so that you can feel the fulfillment? Because the world of truth, there is no lack. Sidkatcha tamid gamlem. Betet resh, saritaf gimel. Chasin kadosh, berotucha, nael adata. Ket kuf bet, tet nunayan. Yachid geye, lamcha pene. Zohre Kedushatecha Yud Gimel Lamed Hei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Ta'alubo Shin Kufav Tadiyuta In the eighth verse of the Anabekoach, we say in a whisper, we will now say the paragraph that we say prior to this, the bringing up of the Sefirah. Ribono shel olam. Ata sevitanu al yedei Moshe avdecha lispor sefirata omer yedei letacharenu miklipotenu umtumatenu yemoshe katavta betorata uspartem lachem mimacharat ha-shabbat Miyom haviyachem et omer ha-tenufa sheva shabbatot temimo tihiyana mimacharat ha-shabbat ha-shvi tesefiru chamishim yom kidei sheyitacharu nafshot amcha Yisrael mizo hamatam uvechein Yehi ratzon milfanecha Adonai yohe wahei adanu yo yoahe dawanu heyo Eloheinu Elohe avotenu Shebizchut sefirata omer Shesafarti hayom Yetukan ma shevagamti besefira Tiferet Shebenetzach is the Sefirah for today, tonight and tomorrow. It's beauty of your eternal victory. What does that look like? What makes eternity and eternal victory look beautiful? What makes it special? Tiferet is the beauty of the sunlight. Tiferet Shebenetzach, the beauty of the sunlight. What brings you into balance? Eternal victory leads to the end of death. Is that something you desire, something you want to bring forth? Vieta her, Vieta Kadesh, Bikdusha, Shel Ma'ala, Amen, Selah. Tzadikim, who left this day, the ninth day of Iyar, Rabbi Moshe Hager. The prophet for this day is Eliezer ben Dodavahu. He is mentioned in the Second Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 37. V'yatnevu Eliezer ben Dodavahu Memarasha al Yehoshaphat Leimor kachit bacha ba'arich am hachazihu peret Adonai yohe wahe adandu yo yo wahe dawandu heyo et mashiha liyashvaro aniot velo atzro lelachet El Tereshim, Tereshish. The translation, that Eliezer, the son of Dodavahu of Marasha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord Hashem hath made a breach in thy works. And the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. The woman that is connecting to Tiferet Shebenetzah is Hagar, the maidservant of Sarai, the wife of Avram. The 24th method to acquire the Torah is Kabbalah Yeshurun, receiving suffering with joy. It's obviously something that's very difficult to acquire, but it creates a living Torah within you when you strive for this. So it's time for our deep Zohar class, unless there's some questions. We are still studying section 29 from the Sulam commentary. Amar lo Rabbi Abba le malan mar al parashata levat amar. Vayehi achar hadvarim ha'ele v'ha'elohim. Nisa et Avraham v'gomer v'yomer kach na et bincha. Et yechidcha asher ahavta v'gomer haka it le'istakala. Ayumana de apeyak. Laspa mim kora de arama avad. Kadmeta meail leya benur la lake baldena fake. Mineya kozuhama. Tiara weha ishta arataspa. Avala kaspa shalemata. Levatar mai aved. Mea yel leia. Benura ki bekad beta. Uma pik mineya. Tai fe kedavar acher hagoy sigim mikasef wigomer ukdein hu kaspa shalemata vila irbuvia. The translation. Rabbi Abba said to him, as he heard him begin with the verse, Hashem shall rejoice in his works. May you, sir, speak and tell us your explanation of the verses in this portion, and not of the verses of Tehillim. Rabbi Yehuda said to them, it is appropriate for you to open with this passage. He said, and it came to pass after these things, that the Elohim did test Abraham. And he said, take now your son, your only son whom you love. We should study this verse carefully. This is similar to a craftsman who takes silver from the earth. What does he do with it? First, he puts the raw material into the burning fire until all the dirt of the earth is removed and only the silver remains. But even this is not yet pure silver. So what does he do next? He puts it into the fire again and extracts the dross, as we may read. Take away the dross from the silver, and then the silver is pure. My commentary. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. This pasuk is a hint to the wars of Gog and Magog and the Armageddon War. Three wars at the end of time. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I don't see the Armageddon War in that. You'll have to explain that.
Well, what is the process to purify silver?
Well, just basically with it, it has to go through fire and the dross has to come out. And, you know,
it's two steps, right?
I think
you cannot do it in one step. Correct?
I think so. It's been a long time since I studied that. I did that years ago.
Essentially, the process of purifying silver takes at least two steps before you can declare that the silver is pure. That's referring to two different wars. Then once the silver is purified, that brings the third war. That's how I arrived at that.
Okay. I took it to mean the tikkun process of the individual and that at suppose at the end of that is that with resurrection, you know, Hashem can rejoice in his works of having created man and man going through the process, and then after these thousands of years and resurrection comes about, and Hashem, I mean, you know, the picture we get is rejoicing in his work.
And again you have three steps.
Mm-hmm.
You have the building of the temple, you have the resurrection of the dead, and then you have the 1,000 years. It's three steps. The Armageddon war is not necessarily a community war. It's a war within yourself. So one is not, you know, they're both correct. We can look at the mass level on the larger level. There are three steps of these Armageddon wars. And we've had sages who have said, the Chofetz Chaim said specifically that the First World War was the first of the wars, that the Second World War would be coming, and he specified the time. And when it came, it was said to be the second of the three wars. And the third, the Armageddon War, we're trying to avoid coming, but by bringing it with peace. That's why the Kabbalah is being spread in our generation. But it applies to each individual just as it applies to the nation.
And another example of many different frames of reference.
Exactly.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And it's just so easy to fall into this pattern that we picked up, that we've learned throughout our lives, that, oh, this is the answer. No, this is a answer. There's another answer. There's 69 other answers. So how do I find what those 69 other answers are? Well, as an individual human being, you're not going to find all 69. But as the nation, all 69 are going to be revealed.
Well, I think the pattern up to now had been the idea that Sarah
has joined
body, you know, and that was the focus. Whereas with this verse, it's kind of changing.
Yes, I agree. But that's really the issue with those, with the Talmud and the Zohar. It's not a direct logical progression.
Right.
It jumps around. The reason it jumps around is because that's our makeup, our psychological makeup. We jump around. Our thoughts move from one subject to the next. And the Zohar is written in a way that it will affect our thought processes. Should I go on to 408?
I think so.
Kacha kucha berichu me'ayel Ay gufa techot para Adim mit demit regal Kuleya Unfek minea Kalzu ama Isha vishta ar Ahutar wad Regele itbene Kufa minea Via kean U gufa la shalim. The translation, so does the Holy One, blessed be He, put the body under the ground until it is completely purified, and all the rotten defilement completely leaves it. and a handful of rot is all that is left. Then the body is rebuilt from this, but it is still an incomplete body. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. What is incomplete in the body that has been rebuilt and been restored? What is incomplete is that the soul is missing. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think it was evident that the soul wasn't there yet.
That's correct. The body has to be rebuilt before the soul can return.
But it's just a little short verse, so it's like you need to have some more information.
Well, I'm sure there will be more as we go on.
The next one's a little bit longer, so it's probably going to add to it.
Of course. But the real question in this verse, in 408, the body goes into the grave and it starts to decay. Is there three steps to the decay? The answer is yes. The three steps are the flesh, the skin, the flesh, and the component organs, the soft organs. What's left are the bones. Or we could say that it's the first step is the soft flesh, the skin and the flesh and the organs that decay. But then there's the process of the bones decaying, leaving only the loose bone. But then the restoration takes place as the third step. So again, we always have these three wars or these three steps. Should I go on to 409 or we still need to talk about 408?
No, I think you're okay.
Levatar hahu yomar rabah. Dikti lehaya yom echad hu yivada lehala Hashem lo yom velo laila mitamran kulhu beafra chidbakad meita min kadam. Tehilu v'takifu tekuchabarichu hahidiktiv uva'u bimaru bimarot tsurim uvimchilot afar mifne pachad Hashem umehadar geono Wigomer Unfake Nishmatehu Umidakel Hahutar Vad Rekev Leishtar Kufad Itvene Taman Nehoradilea Kinhorad Shimsha Uksahara Dirkiya Dikti Vehamaskilim Yashiru Kezohar Arakiya Wigomer Uptain Kaspa Shalim Gufa Shalema Bela Arbuvya Atranai Chata. The translation. This is after that great day, as it is written. But it shall be one day which shall be known to Hashem, not day nor night. This is the day when everyone shall hide in the earth as they did in the beginning. That is, as they were in the grave before the resurrection. Because of the fear and the mighty power of Hashem, blessed be he, as it is written, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of Hashem and for the glory of his majesty. And their souls shall leave, and the handful of rot shall be digested there. The body that is rebuilt shall remain there as the light of the sun and the splendor of the firmament, as it is written, and they who are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And then the silver is pure, which means that the body is pure without any other mixture. And the commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. When the body resurrects, it will be pure like silver. Silver is right column. This purity will be the desire to receive in order to share. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it kind of sounded to me like almost like at the giving of the ten, the Esed Dibrot, when the people didn't want, you know, they were afraid and wanted Hashem to speak through Moses, not directly to them. That's what this kind of reminded me of. Why would they feel that they had to hide?
We have prophecies in the Zohar that there will be 15 days of darkness within Israel, and that they will, the children of Israel will be forced by the Arabs to run into the desert and hide in the caves. And they will only have darkness. It will be the ninth plague.
No, I don't think I've heard.
Well, you haven't read all that aspect of the Zohar. I forget where it is, which section, but I have read it. It's one of the prophecies in the Zohar. It's a prophecy that we are hoping and striving that it won't happen. But that's the prophecy. That's what it's referring to.
And that doesn't have anything to do with hiding at Petra.
Well, maybe it did. Maybe that's what it was. But we're talking about the end of days. We're talking about the time of the restoration, the resurrection. What's going to happen? How is the resurrection going to take place? Mm-hmm. You know, one possibility is that it's man's technology that creates the resurrection. That we have mechanical wombs, so to speak, or maybe we have, you know, borrowed wombs of animals that we can raise human children in as the technology. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that Hashem literally comes down and magically restores the body in the grave. But what we've read in these sections of the Zohar, that the only way that the soul will be restored to the body is in Israel. The body has to get to Israel in some manner.
Right. Uses strong language when it says, when everyone shall hide in the earth. Everyone.
Yeah, no, it's very, that prophecy that I mentioned is very clear, very, very troubling how in its clarity that we will be hiding in the caves and in the desert in darkness with, you know, nothing to eat and no way to gain things to eat. And, you know, it's a true cleansing in the same context the way silver is purified. You know, the dross has to rise to the top. And that's one of the ways to perceive the people who are involved in politics and in the government and say they're leaders. You know, that's the, as they rise to the top, that's the dross.
Do you think at that time that the same things that we're learning today in the Sefer Yetzirah, that can also be applied during that period?
I think yes.
If there's no food, then you create the food.
Exactly. Each of these sections of learning, you need to unify them and bring them into that aspect of your life.
Well, if you come across this in the Zohar, let me know which book.
I will. We'll come across it one of these days.
Right. We've asked the question, so it'll probably show up before too long.
Correct.
I think the timing, you know, what's going on in the world, kind of speeding up, so
it'll become clear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we do have time for one more.
Okay, that's good.
Verse 4:10. D'amar Rabbi Yaakov Gufa Dinahe Ar Arme Kudshabarichu Mileila Diktiv Kitao Rotalecha Uktiv Hine Hashem Mitaltelcha Wigomer Ukdein Yitzkarun Kadishin Ila Indiktiv Kadosh Yeamer Lo Edahu De Yitzkare Tehiyat Ametim Tevatrihu Raita Vedahu Nisyona But raita velaitamun ota amademota diktiv binishmati neum hashem ki yayin ya anasher asita wigomer ki berech avarecha Wigomeru hahu zimna matzlu tzadikaya yodela yitnasun vedayatir. As Rabbi Yaakov said, the Holy One, blessed be He, shall cast down a shining body from above, as it is written, for your dew is as the dew, Hebrew word is tal, of the herbs, and behold, Hashem will carry you away. The Hebrew word is metaltelcha. And then they shall be called celestial holy ones, as it is written, and he shall be called holy. This is what is called the last resurrection of the dead, as they shall never taste death anymore. As it is written, by myself I have sworn, says Hashem, because you have done this thing, that I will exceedingly bless you. During that period, the righteous pray that they may never experience this again. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. This is discussing the last resurrection. Does that mean each reincarnation is a resurrection? Why do the righteous pray to not experience this again? Is it the feeling of resurrection, which we do not remember experiencing in the womb? The 20 years from birth to adult represent experiences and feelings that teach us to distort our perceptions. This is my opinion. Is the experience being in a body? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I was thinking the last resurrection meant the second group, you know, not the ones who were first resurrected that are living in Israel. And then later, you know, there's another resurrection from the people that are in exile. So that's what I thought. So I was glad to hear what you had to say as another.
And both are possibly correct.
Mm-hmm. But I think in a way we can kind of understand the words never experience again, because, you know, some horrific things are going to happen.
Terrific or horrific?
Both. Which side you're on, I guess.
That's very true.
And you know how it is in this walk, you know, you feel like you're doing really good, and then Hashem, you know, exposes something that you, either you had hidden or you didn't realize, or, you know, and then you don't feel so clean anymore. You got to start working on yourself again. You know?
Correct. You've got to go back to the beginning, but it's really not to the beginning.
Right. And then, too, you see the lives of other people and what they're going through, you know, even today, that kind of gives you a hint, even if it hasn't happened in my own life, I see it in others' lives. And, you know, you feel their pain and you know, so you kind of have a vision. Things that could be, you know, and when you think about the poles have to go back, you know, the earth has to go back to being not being on its axis, and all the things that we've told that are going to happen if we're around to, you know, to see it and experience
it. Well, we will be around to see it or experience it unless we achieve the state of righteousness beforehand, and we can leave and not have to experience it. But for the most part, we're all going to be in this world at the time of the Mashiach, because every soul has to be here.
This was an interesting portion, and I have to say, a lot I had not
known
about before.
Yeah, I understand. But also, it's not only is it an interesting portion, but it's not yet complete.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, You have a beautiful evening.
Okay, you too.
Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.